Our next speaker is Mr. Finneson. Mr. Finneson is Director of Analytical Services at OnPoint Health Data, an independent non-profit organization located in Portland, Maine. After completing his graduate degree at the University of Massachusetts, he worked for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, health insurance plans. He joined OnPoint in 1992.
Good afternoon. I'd like to just first acknowledge my co-worker, Amy Kinner, who's in the audience today. Amy, if you want to raise your hand. She's our epidemiologist, has worked on a number of our studies. We have no relationships to disclose. I'm going to start out with just two slides about APCDs, all payer claims databases. These are new state mandated databases that some states are starting to create. They include for all the residents in the state complete medical and pharmacy claims. That can be a numerator for population-based rates. Enrollment data that can be a denominator for population-based rates. They contain ICD-9 diagnosis codes, procedure codes, CPT and HCPCS codes for identifying services, as well as pharmacy NDC national drug codes. All payers would include like Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, Cigna, variety of different plans, as well as pharmacy carve-outs. Some states are beginning to incorporate Medicaid and Medicare, but that effort is kind of lagging behind the commercial data, which is primarily what I'm going to be talking about today. The states in dark on this are the initial states that have developed all-payer claims database with commercial data, and some of these states have started to add in Medicaid and Medicare as well. OnPoint actually has worked in six of these states that currently have all-payer claims databases. The purpose of this presentation was to try and come up with a method to define or identify potentially avoidable outpatient emergency department visits. And I want to stress the word outpatient there. We're not talking about people that go to the ED and eventually get admitted into the hospital. Some of you probably already know that there's an inpatient measure called ambulatory care sensitive conditions that's sometimes used. We found that that really wouldn't work for looking at outpatient emergency department use. So our goal was to identify a set of specific ICD-9 diagnosis codes for outpatient ED use where we determined that the treatment can be commonly provided in another setting, i.e. the physician's office, and the need for hospitalization would be rare. So I'm actually going to show you results first and then talk about the methods. So the three northern New England states, Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, all have commercial all-payer claims databases. We took that information for 67 hospital service area geographic areas based on where people live. We adjusted the rates for age and gender, and we looked at the variability in the rates of potentially avoidable outpatient ED visits. So we found an eightfold variation, with the highest rate being in Caribou, Maine at 136.3 per thousand, and the lowest rate being in Burlington, Vermont at 16.1 per thousand for those types of visits. Now I'll describe the methodology, which is not complex statistically. Basically, we reported out for every ICD-9 diagnosis code, inpatient ED use, outpatient ED use, and then office clinic visit use from the all-payer claims databases based on principal ICD-9 code down to the fifth digit. First thing we did was, and we also elected to exclude injury and poisonings, the 800-plus and up ICD-9 codes. First thing, step we took was to identify high-volume ICD-9 diagnosis codes, and we identified a list of those that covered 80% of all outpatient ED visits. Second thing we did was we looked at ICD-9 where the proportion of ED visits resulting in an inpatient hospitalization was rare, always less than 1%, and in some cases much smaller than that, and the proportion of total visits in the office setting was common, i.e. greater than 80%. Data sources we used for this, we used a statewide Medicaid and commercial claims database. And then we also used, for one state, we had hospital inpatient and outpatient data to look at that as well. Here's an example of two codes. 465.9, acute upper respiratory infection, unspecified site. The percent of total ED visits that resulted in hospitalization was 0.3%, very rare. Whereas the percent of total encounters that were treated in an office setting was fairly high, 84%. By contrast, 491.21, obstructive chronic bronchitis with acute exacerbation, had a high rate of ED visits that resulted in hospitalization, 30.4%, and treatment in the office setting for this particular diagnosis code was also much less than for the other code. So based on that, 465.9 was selected as a potentially avoidable diagnosis code, and 491.21 was not included. These are the results, our core diagnostic care categories. This PowerPoint is uploaded to the APHA website if you can't see those or want to print it out. But, for example, sore throat, strep, IC9034.0, viral infections. We did include anxiety, conjunctivitis, and so forth. The most common one was upper respiratory infections, acute or unspecified. And we also found joint pain and some musculoskeletal fatigue and headache to be other common ones. So this was our core set. There are some other codes that might be considered as well, particularly in the Medicaid for people covered under Medicaid. Emergency department is often a source of dental care. And so those are some additional codes. We didn't include them in the core set because we did not have office dental office visits covered on the commercial side to analyze that. But those would be possible inclusions. And there was some debate about whether abdominal pain, particularly by quadrant, would be included or not. And I'm just going to show you a couple examples of some additional data. We've applied this in a number of different projects. This was a particular project in a state where we compared Medicaid, non-dual Medicare eligibles to the commercial population, and we were able to look at the proportion of ED visits that are in these potentially avoidable diagnoses. In the Medicaid population, 32% of all outpatient ED visits fell into that category, and in the commercial population, 24% fell into that category. And I'm actually showing here the office visits and selected diagnosis, those same diagnosis and the volume of office visits as well. Here's an example of applying that to statewide hospital data, both inpatient and outpatient, where we looked at the outpatient ED visits that did not result in hospitalizations. We had some population estimates from which to derive some rates. The highest rate of potentially avoidable ED visits was in the Medicaid population, followed by uninsured Medicare, and finally commercial at the lowest rate. And for this population, about 25% of all outpatient ED visits fell into the potentially avoidable classification. One thing we did with the geographical variation was to measure the degree of variation. So we used the coefficient variation, which is standard deviation divided by the mean. It's a standardized way of looking at variability. And we found that potentially avoidable, amongst a number of different measures, potentially avoidable outpatient ED visits had the greatest variability geographically, followed by some treatment for back conditions, chiropractic or osteopathic, and back surgery. And then as you see, as you go down the list, less variability for some of the quality measures and total payments by those areas. So it ended up at the high end on that. These are some of the examples of some of the reporting and analysis that we are currently involved in or have done using this new measure. We are involved with some health systems in helping set up ACO, their ACO development. We're using this in one evaluation of an advanced primary care medical home. We've done work for various state governments, including Medicaid. We've done a study of children in commercial Medicaid and SCHIP, comparing those three populations where we've used that measure. And we've also done some reporting back to employers using that measure. So we'd like to consider this as a possibility. There is no national standard again. This could be one method that could be employed when looking at outpatient ED visits. Thank you.